Lord, we just come to you offering our lives and that you would speak into our hearts today. Mold us to be more like Christ and make us ready for his return. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, today, as we've mentioned, is the beginning of Advent. This is a season when we especially remember that we live in a time of waiting. We are waiting for his coming on Christmas, and we're waiting for his return at the end of time. And as we prepare to celebrate for the Lord's first coming on Christmas, we are looking forward to that day when he will come back again. We feel a sense of expectation, something that hopefully fills us with hope and longing for his return. And yet at the same time, it causes us to examine our lives. Are we ready for his return? And if not, what will make us ready for the Son of Man? So today we're going to be looking at two different passages. We're going to look at our gospel reading first, which is Matthew 24, 29 to 44. I invite you to turn to your Bibles there. And we're also going to be looking at Isaiah chapter 2, 1 through 5. And then we're going to come back to the Matthew passage. So please turn your Bibles to do that. Now, before we decide if we're ready for Christ's return, we must understand why we need to be ready. So Matthew 24 is Jesus' discourse to his disciples at the Mount of Olives concerning the destruction of the temple and his return at the end of time. And he begins in verse 2 with these words. He says, "Truly I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." The destruction of the temple was an unthinkable event for the Jews. Their whole world revolved around the temple. Stunned by Jesus' prediction, the disciples ask him, "Well, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age?" Now, the part that we read begins at verse 29. And it's a verse filled with all kinds of prophetic language of the type that we actually find in the Old Testament. Such language is used to describe judgment upon cities and upon nations. For example, in Isaiah 13:10, when the Lord portrays the judgment and destruction of Babylon, he uses these words. He says, "For the stars of the heavens and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be dark at its rising, and the moon will not shed its light." So language about cosmic collapse is used in the Old Testament to symbolize God's acts of judgment within history on unjust world systems. So Isaiah 13 points to the end of Babylonian political and military power, which controlled the world of 6th century BC. Here, Jesus is using that same kind of language, if you look at the words here, to point to the end of the temple and its religious system. The temple in the first century served as the center of worship for the Jews. Here people came to pray, to offer sacrifices, to hear teachings from the religious leaders who exerted a significant amount of authority over them. In the inner sanctum, it was believed that the presence of God dwelled. The temple stood as a monument to the Jews to worship the one true God. It is what identified them as a chosen people, and it gave structure and meaning to their lives. But Jesus was announcing a day when that temple would be destroyed. He says in verse 34, "Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all of these things take place." He was describing the destruction of the temple. Indeed, that is exactly what happened about 40 years later. In 70 AD, the Romans decimated the complex and left the Jews without a place to worship or to offer sacrifices for their sins. So its loss for us would be comparable to waking up one morning and finding out that the whole Capitol building had been destroyed. Their whole system of what they believed and they thought was going to stay together had suddenly been decimated. The prophetic language in verse 29 helps us to understand that what was destroyed was not just a magnificent building, but the center of power for the Jewish people. You know, on the day that the Jewish leaders executed Jesus, they put themselves outside of the purposes of God. And as a result, the true people of God are found now outside of the temple complex in the Son of Man and his followers. The temple's destruction, Jesus predicted, would cause the tribes of Israel to mourn. But for those who believe, it would serve as a sign of Jesus' reign in heaven. And so today, if you go to Jerusalem, nothing remains except the Western Wall, where Israelis continue to mourn. But for Christians, the shattered structure is a sign that Jesus has been inaugurated King of all. And thus the fate of the temple served as the climactic act of judgment against God's own and a symbol of a new beginning. The heavenly enthronement of the Son of Man, who has been given universal and heavenly authority and will one day return to rule on earth. Christ's return will bring the judgment of the world system and the establishment of a new kingdom. And so to be prepared means knowing where our allegiance lies. And if we're really honest with ourselves, we are probably more attached to this world system than we might like to admit. Until the destruction of the temple, the Jews thought that they existed in the center of God's will. And then their world came tumbling down. Are you ready for the destruction of the pillars and institutions of this world? Of the things that people put their faith in and what gives stability and meaning to their life? Are you ready to see their destruction? Because they will come to an end. And so to be means ready means putting our trust in eternal things. Now in Isaiah 2, that we also read this morning, the prophet describes the Son of Man's earthly rule in later days. So it's like he takes us from the destruction of the temple, and now we're looking at what will happen here in the future. And what is meant here is not an idealistic portrait of what could be, but of what the world will be like one day. And it's meant to provide an image of hope to God's people by describing who they're called to be in the world. God has something marvelous planned through his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, we don't know when this scripture will be fulfilled, but the message tells us something of the future that we must be ready for. Now, in the vision, the truth of the Lord produces a reordered world and a new humanity. A day is coming when the superiority and the supremacy of the God of Israel will be acknowledged. Isaiah says in verse 2, "In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of mountains, and it shall be raised above the hills." So in ancient times, it was thought that mountains were the place where the gods dwelled. And so the Greeks believed that Zeus lived on top of Mount Olympus. And even today, Hindus believe that their gods were born in the Himalayas. But in later days, the Lord will be acknowledged as the one true God. No longer will there be feuding over religion or what God is more powerful. The Lord will be supreme. And the universal monotheism will be practiced for the nations will acknowledge and worship the Lord. You know, in the past, the ancient Israelites constantly looked to the gods of other nations around them as objects of worship, not realizing the significance of the God who had made a covenant with them. In the later days, the supremacy of God will be so uncompromisingly clear that throngs from every nation will come to Mount Zion to learn his ways. Whereas formerly only Israelites made pilgrimages to Zion, in the coming days, all nations will make pilgrimages to it, not out of coercion, but out of an inner spiritual compulsion. They will want to come. They will want to come and see the Lord. No longer will people seek the Lord in Mecca, Kyoto, and Varanasi, but they will go to the mountain of the Lord. And there, they will not be disappointed, for there they will find instruction and the path to wisdom. Being ready means disentangling our lives from this world, disentangling our lives and our faith and the things that hold up this world, its gods, its idols, repenting of sinful behaviors and turning and giving full allegiance to King Jesus. He and he alone is Lord over all, no matter what happens on this earth. Now, surprisingly, being ready has nothing to do with knowing the time when the Son of Man will return. Throughout Matthew 24, Jesus refuses to give the disciples the sign that they're asking for. He describes horrific events that will be taking place, wars and rumors of wars, famines, earthquakes, tribulations, killings, the violation of the temple, and the inevitability of having to flee one's home. And amid these events, he warns his readers with these words: see to it that no one leads you astray. Many will come saying, I am the Christ. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders. In other words, and this is important for us to understand, visible signs and wonders are not premonition of his impending return, but spheres through which false prophets deceive. Jesus explicitly disassociates these events from his return. Times of crisis will come and will inevitably make people feel vulnerable, causing them to make announcements like, well, Jesus must be coming back. You know, I was in New York City during the World Trade Center disaster, and it was a really vulnerable time. And I remember walking home in Central Park, looking at the buildings around me, wondering which building was going to be hit next, and just feeling like, oh my gosh, it could be the next building that I'm in, because you just didn't know. It was a very time of instability. And this instability created a sense of uncertainty. And so not surprisingly, churches were filled in the weeks afterward because people were really afraid and looking for hope. What Jesus is saying is that during catastrophic times, watch out, because these are times when demonically empowered antichrists will arise and prey on people's vulnerabilities. Be careful, he says, lest you be deceived. Times of crisis test where our faith genuinely lies. Does it lie in America's great military strength? Does it lie in the size of your bank account? Does it lie in your friends and family? Or does it lie in Jesus? He must be the one who undergirds our lives. That's what being ready means. Our faith will be demonstrated most in times of turmoil. If our faith is not in him, then we risk being deceived. So the Greek word used in the New Testament for Jesus' second coming is parousia. And in the secular world of the first century, parousia referred to the visit of a ruler or high official. The visit of such a dignitary required preparation. There would be consequences for being caught unprepared. Improvements would have to be made in the city and the streets that might require them to levy taxes. Honorary gifts would have to be arranged. Delicacies would have to be prepared. Donkeys would have to be procured to carry him, his entourage, and his baggage. And similarly, the return of Jesus must be prepared for as well. And we demonstrate our readiness by how we live our lives, our priorities, our trust, our service. Yes, we're saved by faith, but genuine faith transforms the kind of lives that we live. This is clear in verse 46 when Jesus says, "Blessed is the servant whom the master will find doing when he comes." The wicked servant, by contrast, is the one who assumes that he won't have to give an account for what he does. How we live matters and directly demonstrates what we put our faith in. During the 1960 presidential campaign, John F. Kennedy often closed with speeches in using the story from Colonel Davenport, who is the Speaker of the House of the Connecticut House of Representatives. And on May 19th, 1780, the skies of Hartford became particularly dark and ominous. And some of the representatives were glancing out of the window and said, "We got to get out of here." They feared that the end was coming. And so, suppressing the clamor for adjournment, Davenport rose and he said, "The day of judgment is either approaching or it's not. And if it's not, there's no cause for adjournment. And if it is, I choose to be found doing my duty. And therefore, I wish that the candles be brought out." And so, St. James, rather than fearing what is to come, we are to live faithfully until Christ returns. Instead of fearing the dark and the disasters and everything else that will be coming, we're to be lights in a world as we watch and wait. The vision of Isaiah 2 ends with these words in verse 5. "Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord." And for us, this means, given that we've seen this marvelous picture of what is to come, let's not waste time, but let us live as if it is already here. To be ready for the return of the Son of Man is to live as if he is already here on earth ruling, walking in the understanding given to us by the Holy Spirit, and always ready to share with those who seek his wisdom and truth. Let's pray. Father, as we gather here this morning, we are all at different places of readiness. And I pray, Lord, that you would just speak to each of us individually. Are we prepared? Are we prepared for your return? Some of us have never truly committed our lives to King Jesus. Our allegiances lie elsewhere. And so this morning is an opportunity to say, "No, I put my trust in Jesus. I need a Savior. I need Jesus, and I confess him as Lord of all." And if that's you, I just invite you to do that. And some of us have committed our lives to Jesus, but we've gotten bogged down, entrenched in the world systems. And we kind of find ourselves with dual loyalties. And for those of us here, we need to just realize that the Lord does not like lukewarm people, but he wants people fully committed to him. And so this is an opportunity this morning to just confess that to the Lord and ask him to change our hearts, to be fully committed to the Lord with all our heart and soul and mind. Lord, this Advent season, speak into each of our hearts, preparing us for your return. We long for the future, and we pray that not one of us would be left behind. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.